The title for this message is That Life is But a Vapor. I'm going to try to knock this subject out in just a couple of minutes, so hold on to your hats. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. End quote. This message is regarding our philosophy of life according to the scripture. To what end are we here on this earth? How does one find contentment, fulfillment, and success? What is our goal, our mission, our duty? I am seeking specifically to address young men this morning, as Peter indicated, with regards to these crucial questions. The first statement that we must define at the outset of our discussion, and this is always the case, is that Christ is the Creator Sovereign who made out of nothing something, and thus by good right, He is the Lord and Master over all the inhabitants of the earth. James 4:12 says that there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. The next necessity that we must cover is that we must determine our status as creatures in relation to our Creator. James tells us quite clearly in chapter 2 of verse 10 of James that not only have we broken the transcendental law of our King, but that in breaking the one law, in essence, we have broken the law in its entirety. Therefore, we see our position as mortals as that of condemnation, condemned under the negative sanction of the law, and thus worthy of eternal hellfire. The reason that I speak of these things is to remind you of the disposition and attitude which we must constantly employ in all that we do. For the scripture tells us that we have no grounds to boast, for every gift that we have is from above, James 1:17. Since it is quite evident that we are merely unprofitable servants, our attitude must be one of humility before our God. For we read the word of the Lord, James chapter 4, 6, quote, Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, end quote. Moreover, in verse 10, quote, Humble yourselves in the sight of our Lord, and he shall lift you up, end quote. It is a broken and contrite heart that the Lord delighteth in, because this is an heart of a man which acknowledges that we are nothing in the awful and holy presence of our Lord and Savior. I wish to exhort the young men of this assembly to seek wisdom while there is yet time. James implores us to ask of the wisdom of God in chapters 1, verses 5. He warns us of the vain philosophies and foolish wisdoms of men in chapters 3, verse 15. It seems that young men have a tendency to cling to all kinds of wrong kinds of philosophies and wisdom. But we see here in the scripture that true wisdom is that which is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and hypocrisy. The fear of God, explains Solomon, is the beginning of wisdom. We hear so often of the son who is always wasting time, health, and money on the selfish pursuits of pleasure. We hear so often of sons who eat the bread of idleness, frittering away the most precious years of their lives. There is no shortage of testimonies of sorrows when men recollect the days of their youth, the foolish acts that they did, the time that was wasted, the openings of usefulness that he neglected. They that would not get wisdom at the time when their minds were most able to retain it, and now it is too late. They don't have time to sit down and learn. Always remember that lost time can never be redeemed. These are things that build sorrow in a man's heart when he is in his twilight years. Even King David is seen crying out to the Lord, quote, Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways, in Psalms 25. James boldly proclaims time and time again that faith, if it hath not works, is dead. If you have great wisdom, of which we have heretofore spoken, and yet you cannot endure through the ever-certain trials of which James promises, what doth it profit? James also teaches us that self-service never leads to peace or contentment. In James chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, quote, Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. End quote. But if ye be the servants of Christ, then you must be willing to bring every member of your being under the bondage of Christ with absolute single-mindedness. You must be willing to acknowledge the sovereignty of his law over every area of your life. James teaches us that the performance of our duty cannot be evaluated by empirical, circumstantial evidence. For success by the world's standards is not always the lot of the Christian. What may be seen as blessing in the minds of men is certainly not always blessing in the eyes of God. Quote, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Just because the people to whom you proclaim the truth reject it as foolishness does not reveal any lack of performance of duty on your part. Quote, the fear of man in the performance of your duty will always prove to be a snare. So says Solomon in Proverbs 29:25. Many young men, many strong young men, allow fear of other men to sway them from the truth. They even allow it to become their religion, their Bible, and their God. But we must hearken unto Isaiah in chapter 51, 12 through 13. Quote, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forget the Lord thy maker that stretcheth forth the heavens and laid the very foundations of the earth. End quote. Never think it is a disgrace to serve the Lord God. Never be afraid to do what is right, thus making faith perfect by your works. Satan knows very well that you, Daniel Gill, Caleb Swarovski, will make up the next generation. You are the grand object of his attack. He would have you to believe that evil is good and good is evil. He will exalt the pleasures of wickedness, but he will hide from you the sting. And don't think, may none of us ever think, that we are exempt from such temptations. For we must remember King David, a man after God's own heart, was ensnared by such temptations, causing the latter days to be full of sorrow. This enemy is working tirelessly for your destruction. He knows that you will either be the blessing or the curses of your day. Yet according to James 1:12, how blessed are they that endure this temptation, being steadfast till the end. Young men, it is appointed a day for you to die, and no matter how strong and healthy you may seem now, the day of your death may be very near. Quote, you must not boast of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Remember always that tomorrow is the devil's day. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are, how holy your resolutions are, if only they are determined to be done tomorrow. There is a great cloud of witnesses whom time would not allow if I were to name young David, young Daniel, young Isaac, young Joseph, young Joshua, young Samuel, young Josiah, young Obadiah, and young Timothy, all faithful young men and loyal servants to the Lord of glory. The verse which I read to you at the start teaches us that your time is all but short. Your days are but as a shadow, a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, a story that is soon to be told. Isaiah tells us that even the young men must stumble and fall. David speaks to us in Psalms 119:9, quote, wherewithal shall young man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of God. Hide the word of God in your heart so that you might not sin against him. And when you walk, it will guide you. When you sleep, it will watch over you. And when you wake, it will speak with you. And he said unto them in Deuteronomy 32:46-47, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But wilt thou know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment? Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's Ecclesiastes 11. The question that we asked in the beginning of this short message was, what is the duty of young man in this vapor of a life? And we have considered different aspects of this duty found in the book of James, namely, that we are condemned, unprofitable servants of our Creator. Therefore, an humble and contrite attitude is befitting. That we must seek the wisdom of God solely in His perfect word, from which all knowledge is derived. That our duty cannot be evaluated based on circumstantial evidence. And when we must then we must apply this faith to actions by our works of servitude, of which our faith is made perfect. Again, the title verse, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. Let us then hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. This is the message, young men. Night is falling. You must seize the day. Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen.